The book of Philemon, written at the same time as the book of Colossians, which was during Paul's first imprisonment, is the shortest of Paul's letters and is the only one of the prison epistles that is addressed to an individual. The other three prison epistles, Colossians, Philippians, and Ephesians. And I looked up his name, and this is what it was told me, that Philemon means one who kisses, which leads me to ask, what was the purpose for this brief correspondence, Paul's brief correspondence to this one individual? Well, if you recall, Paul led Philemon to the Lord, probably during the apostle's ministry in Ephesus. Then following his conversion, Philemon became a member of the church at Colossae. And the church at Colossae met in his home, in Philemon's home, or a portion of the church met there. Now this fellow laborer, as verse 1 tells us, was an active member of this church who owned at least one slave, Onesimus. But Onesimus, who was not a Christian, ran away from his master Philemon to the city of Rome, and no doubt he hoped to find there in this imperial city something to fill the void in his soul. While in Rome, he providentially met Paul. Perhaps he ran into Epaphras, who was the pastor of the church at Colossae. And so, because Onesimus' home was part or a place where the church of Colossae met, then obviously Onesimus would have known Epaphras, right? And so Epaphras then introduced Onesimus to Paul, and it was then that Paul led Onesimus to the Lord, after which he lived up to his name, for Onesimus means useful, and he became useful to Paul. And we see that in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. There was, however, a matter that needed attention. As a runaway slave, Onesimus had defrauded his master by depriving him of his services, which meant that Onesimus was a criminal. We don't know this, but perhaps he had stolen from Philemon when he fled. Whatever, the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus needed to be restored, which meant Onesimus needed to return to his master and seek forgiveness and restoration. Now, when possible, we need to right the wrongs of our past. If you have your Bibles, turn back to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we read in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And I think it's especially applicable to people who were have been saved as adults. How far do we take this matter of righting wrongs done in the past, righting wrongs done perhaps before we were saved? How far do we take that? Is this a fair question? I mean, do you go back and try to right any wrongs? I mean, this is what Paul was going to be asking Onesimus to do in regards to his master Philemon. If the Spirit of God is directing you, and this can be a means of advancing the gospel, maybe the person you wronged is not a Christian, I think it's a very powerful witness to go back to that person and say, you know, I did wrong you. Maybe I did steal from you, or maybe I did defraud you in some way, or I did lie to you, and I am so sorry, and I just want to ask for forgiveness. I think we say, how can the gospel be furthered? To help facilitate this forgiveness process, Paul sent a letter to Philemon with Onesimus. And it is this letter that we want to begin now to study. This afternoon, we have 2 points. The first point is Paul's greeting and introduction, verses 1 through 3, and then Paul's thanks to God for Philemon, verses 4 through 7. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Paul's intro, and then his thanks to God for Philemon. Under Paul's first point, Paul's greeting and introduction, he first identified the author of this letter and its recipient. And of course, as verse 1 tells us, the author is Paul, who described himself as a prisoner. And this Roman imprisonment is recounted for us in Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Acts 28, 30 and 31. But then he quickly added that he was a prisoner, yes, of Rome, but also of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul usually began his letters by stressing his apostleship, emphasizing, of course, through that, his authority. But here he emphasized his imprisonment for the sake of the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ, and then his friendship to Philemon, to whom this letter was written, the recipient of this letter, whom he called, in verse 1, dearly beloved and a fellow laborer, which all says Paul appealed to his reader more as a friend rather than an apostle, as a friend in prison. In other words, he appealed to Philemon not as a lord, but as an equal. And then further under his greeting, Paul also sent regards, verse 2, to our beloved Apphia, who was no doubt Philemon's wife, and to Archippus, who was most likely their son, and perhaps the pastor of the church at Laodicea. Remember, we just looked at Archippus back in Colossians chapter 4. And when this epistle, verse 16 of chapter 4, is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of Laodicea, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And so Archippus, most likely the son of Philemon and Apphia, was most likely the pastor of the church at Laodicea. Now, this address to this family was unique among Paul's letters, but it made sense considering the whole family would be involved in forgiving Onesimus and receiving him back. One author writes regarding this escaped slave, Apphia was as much a party to the decision as her husband, because according to the custom, she had day-to-day responsibilities for the slaves. And then Paul added at the end of verse 2, into the church in thy house. Now, why this house church status? Well, the Jews had their synagogues, but the Christians met in the homes of their members because they had no property for church buildings. And so the believers of a city would gather in different homes, house churches, with a city bishop overseeing these various locations. By the way, this arrangement continued up to the 3rd century. And then verse 3, Paul gave his customary greeting of grace and peace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace is the means of salvation, and peace is the result of that salvation. Romans 5:1 tells us this very thing. Therefore, being justified by faith, and that salvation, we have what? The peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the means of salvation. Peace is its result. Now, the linking, grace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the linking of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ as the joint sources of grace and peace would be blasphemous if Jesus was just a mere man or angel. So what was Paul doing here? He was affirming the deity of Christ and therefore his equality with God. Remember, Paul, who penned these words, had seen the risen Christ face to face on the Damascus Road, and so he could testify firsthand that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God. When the Bible says Jesus is Lord, it's saying Jesus is God. And what did Paul say when he heard the voice from heaven, when he was struck down, when he was blinded by the light? He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He called him Lord. He called Jesus Lord. And so this is the intro. This is the greeting that Paul penned to Philemon. Well, we come to our second point, and that's Paul's thanks to God for Philemon. And we see this thanksgiving expressed in verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Paul's often prayers for Philemon were filled with thanksgiving. And what a blessing to be able to identify individuals in prayer for whom we are thankful. Every prayer we pray should be filled with thanksgiving. Yes, for God and His grace and His goodness, but for people in our lives that God is using to grow us, to encourage us, to love on us, to be there for us. Amen? Thanking God for individuals that He has placed in your life, individuals who are stepping stones for your spiritual growth, for your spiritual maturity. Why is that important? Why does Paul say over and over again in his epistles, I thank God upon every remembrance of you? Or I'm thanking God, he says, making mention of thee always in my prayers. What is important about that? What I find when I pray with thanksgiving for someone, it really does bring my heart into a closer relationship with that one to whom or for whom I am saying thanks. We have enough divisions in the body of Christ. We need to pray, Lord, grow my heart so that I can be more receptive, caring, concerned, a friend for those, Lord, you have placed in my life. Now, specifically, what was Paul thankful for? Well, two things. First of all, he was thankful for Philemon's trust in God. Notice verse 5, hearing of thy faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus. His trust in God. The Greek for thou hast is in the present tense, which demonstrates the continuous nature of Philemon's unwavering faith. And what was Paul's prayer of thanks regarding his perpetual faith? Notice verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What did he say there he was thankful for regarding Philemon's faith? Paul prayed that the fellowship of Philemon's faith, the sharing of it with others, both material and non-material things, would be effective as Philemon himself understood the great work God had done in him. And this is foundational for all effective evangelism, is really sharing with others what God has done and continues to do in us. We tell what great things God has done for us. We testify, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And praise God, I am the recipient of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has transformed me. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. And when these good things are passed on and understood, it goes a long ways to make credible your testimony to those to whom you are witnessing, to those to whom you are telling the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, when we can look back on our salvation and see how God redeemed us, how God rescued us, how God saved us, and then what the gospel is continuing to do for us, and we share that as we witness, that is powerful. That is effective. We are saying, look what Jesus has done for me. Listen to what Jesus has done for me. And there's a passion, there's a heart, there's a conviction of what Christ has done. I mean, I think that is so effective in our witness for Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was saying here about Philemon. His faith in God was such an encouragement and help. The testifying of it was such an encouragement to others. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So Paul was thankful for Philemon's trust in God. And then second, Paul was thankful for Philemon's love for all the saints. Verse 5. Now let me just say this construction here in the Greek text suggests that the word love goes with the last phrase of verse 5. And so we read, hearing of thy love toward all the saints. Hearing of thy love toward all the saints. And of course, here is the agape love, which is a love of will, choice, self-sacrifice, and humility. And because Philemon's faith was real, he truly could love in such a way that genuinely cared for others. I love what 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And Paul was thankful for what this love toward the saints had brought to pass, which is declared in verse 7, For we have great joy and consolation or comfort in thy love, because the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Philemon's love for Paul, his love for the saints, what did it do? It brought great happiness and encouragement as it refreshed their hearts. And the Greek word for refreshed is from a military term that speaks of an army resting after a march. So what Paul was saying here is Philemon's loving spirit brought the believers joyful rest and renewal because he was a peacemaker. Friends, let me say this. Love brings rejoicing and refreshment to the hearts of those that are loved. That's why love is so important. It brings rejoicing, it brings refreshment to the hearts of those that are loved. Does your heart need to be encouraged to rejoice? Does your heart need to regularly be refreshed? What does God do to help bring that rejoicing and that refreshment to pass? He brings another believer into your life that shows Jesus' love, that pours through his heart Jesus' love to you. That's why love is so important. That's why love is so powerful. because it affects the one you're loving. It refreshes them. It rejoices their hearts. Don't we need rejoicing? Don't we need refreshment of soul as we walk as a pilgrim through this world? Absolutely. I mean, the world is constantly dragging us down. And that is why the body of Christ and the communication, the communion that we have one with another is so important, because I can, my love toward you, your love toward for me, causes my heart to rejoice. It causes my heart to be refreshed. I don't know about you, but I need to be loved so that my heart experiences rejoicing and refreshment. Amen? What a beautiful thing. And that's the heart that Paul described of Philemon. And so, like Philemon, might the exercise of our faith in Jesus be so real that our witness points people to Christ, and may our love for the saints be so passionate that it brings them joy and peaceful rest of soul. Faith and love are powerful. Then the beneficiaries in their prayers will as well thank and praise God for you. Friends, Philemon was truly a spiritual man. He had a godly character, meaning he had the character that could and would forgive Onesimus, which prompts me to ask, do you have such a forgiving character? Can it be said of you that you have a powerful witness because of your trust in God? Can it be said of you that you rejoice and refresh the saints because of your love for the saints? When you truly have a living faith in Jesus Christ, can I tell you what will follow? Love.